Welcome to Reviewing the Right, a podcast where in each episode we analyze popular right-wing internet content and attempt to ascertain where it came from, if there's any truth behind it, and how to effectively debunk it. Aided by expert advice, Google, and stone-cold facts. I'm your host, Evan LH. Let's get into it.
So, okay, let's say it never changed. What's wrong with Democrats saying, we made a mistake 160 years ago. We should correct that mistake. It implies for no change. No.
A historian gets to the heart of what we talk about in this podcast, getting to the truth, finding the falsehoods in an age of fake news or those that call something fake news. Recently, a right-wing Facebook group titled, quote, Office of the Former President, unquote, circulated a meme with an image of the movie character Forrest Gump. In it, Forrest looks stupefied, and there's this caption, quote, you mean Democrats, who owned all the slaves, are demanding reparations for slavery from the Republicans who freed the slaves? Unquote. Just on the surface, this is a claim that is directly misleading, incorrect, and ignores hundreds of years of platform changes and value shifting related to the Democrat and Republican parties. I was able to get Professor Matt Hutchinson to weigh in on the topic. He is a former lecturer at Kennesaw State University who holds a master's in history and has taught multiple courses related to world history as well as U.S. history from 1850 to present. How you doing, Matt?
All right, how are you?
I'm just fine. The arguments held in this post are seen frequently in more discourses than just reparations. We see it in discussions about which party is the most racist and also which party does better things for black people. With this post, we weren't sure where to start.
Where to start with this one? I've got like a timeline of how the parties switch and how it came to happen that the parties, they diverge. But so much of it's a regionality. Is there were Northern Democrats. Andrew Johnson was a Northern Democrat. Lincoln's vice president was a Northern Democrat who was a war Democrat, who was in favor of waging a war in order to end the expansion of slavery in the United States. This led Southern Democrats. The reason Lincoln won is because the Democrats split off, is you had the Southern Democrats and you had the Northern Democrats. The Northern Democrats tended to have more of those kinds of liberal ideals. But none of that implies that anyone, any of them, thought that African Americans or slaves were in any way equal to whites.
This statement draws a bead on the belief of the moral purity of either party. President Abraham Lincoln himself, often claimed by the Republican Party and a symbol for anti-racism, stated, I will say then that I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of bringing about in any way the social and political equality of the white and black races. Andrew Johnson, the war Democrat who was willing to go to war to abolish slavery, a year after the 13th Amendment was passed, was quoted as saying, this is a country for white men, and by God, as long as I am president, it shall be a government for white men.
Lincoln, by today's standards, would have been fairly racist. It implies that history is static, and that there hasn't been any sort of shift in ideology in 160 years. I think my beef with most memes is the intellectual laziness of them. Is it implies that Democrats today are exactly the same Democrats. Never mind you have Democrats like Strom Thurmond in the 1960s leaving the Democrat Party because of the Voter Rights Act.
Strom Thurmond is a former senator of South Carolina who prior to 1964 was a member of the Democratic Party before shifting to the Republican Party due to his staunch opposition to the Civil Rights Act of 1957 and desegregation. He is remembered for having the longest speaking filibuster on record, 24 hours and 18 minutes. He performed this feat in opposition to the Civil Rights Act of 1957. He is a prime example of government representatives switching from one party to another due to racial biases. Shifts like this have happened multiple times throughout U.S. history, quite notably during Lincoln's election.
So if you go back to the 1860 election, and neither party at that point is what you would call an advocate of racial equity. So the Democrats in the North and the Democrats in the South had clearly different ideals. Democrats in the South wanted an expansion of slavery, but the more operative term, I would argue, is Southern and Northern than it is Democrat, right? It was just the party that happened to be established and in power. The Whigs had just ended and the Republicans were coming onto the scene.
It's during this time in history that using the current comparison of Democrat versus Republican is disingenuous. As Matt emphasizes, the party lines were much blurrier than the Mason-Dixon line. The Civil War was a war between the North and the South, not between Democrats and Republicans. Party migrations of people who maintain racist ideology have happened throughout American history, and one that potentially affects our lives much more than the one in the 1860s was the one that happened in the 1960s.
What you see in 64 is wealthy and conservative Southerners tend to align more with Republican ideals by that point. But poor and liberal Southerners tend to stay Democratic. So at this point, you start to see the polarization of parties.
All based around race, these formerly Democrat conservative voters shift to the Republican Party due to their opposition to desegregation. Matt brings up a strong reminder of the Southern strategy used by Nixon.
So Nixon he was able to get the Republican Party to fight against busing and desegregation, which pushed all of the white conservative voters in the South to the Republican Party. And that's formalized in 80. I don't know if you know who Lee Atwater is.
Lee Atwater was a consultant for the Ronald Reagan campaign. And back in 1981, he was caught on tape discussing explicitly how the Republican campaign can attract racists.
You start out in 1954 by saying nigger, nigger, nigger. By 1968, you can't say nigger. That hurts your backfire. So you say stuff like forced busing, states' rights, and all that stuff. And you're getting so abstract now. You're talking about cutting taxes and all of these things you're talking about are totally economic things. And the byproduct of them is blacks get hurt worse than whites.
By 80, you've got Reagan fully embracing this white nativist narrative. So my problem ultimately with that tweet is, one, it implies that the Democrats in 1860 were the same as Democrats in 1960, right? So it implies that there's never been any change in what the national conversation about racial identity is. It ignores the Southern strategy. It ignores Lee Atwater. It ignores...
Posts like this one, though seemingly trivial, are important to examine because they are representative of how the American discourse has evolved. As Matt puts it,
it implies for no change, no growth. Does it matter what Southern Democrats had to say about the institution of slavery during the time of the Civil War more than it does 5 minutes ago? It ignores the present in favor of trying to score a political point that ultimately has no relevance if, on the surface, sure, Democrats were pro-slavery, Republicans were anti-slavery. Lincoln freed the slaves. Let's get into why Lincoln freed the slaves, right? It was an attempt to further destabilize the South in a war effort, more than it was any grand vision of equality for African Americans.
The beliefs that are held and represented within this post show that the creator and those that support it hold a gilded and partially inaccurate view of history. When we address critical historical events like the abolition of slavery, detail is important and ultimately reveals a less than favorable view of history. Sure, no one wants to admit that they are on the quote-unquote side that did bad things, but it is important to recognize that no matter what side you are on, there was probably someone on the same side that did a bad thing. To ignore an atrocity or terrible action or widespread belief simply because of partisanry is a missed opportunity to reflect and understand your beliefs and those associated with it. No matter what side you are on, reflection is important, and it prevents you from making bad arguments.
It's a cake and eat it too kind of argument, and it ignores the real conversation about are reparations reasonable. That's a conversation that should absolutely be had. It doesn't instigate conversation. It doesn't it's just lazy. I don't know how else to describe it. It shows a distinct lack of intellectual curiosity.
The toxicity of aspects of online culture can be felt in this post. It is a surface-level comment on a complex, historically dense issue that is designed to be easily parroted and moved on from. There's no room for further debate. Where would one even start? Whether it is intentionally dishonest or not, it is largely inaccurate. And this is exactly what makes it dangerous. There are millions of posts out there just like this one. On its own, it may not seem that threatening, but when produced in mass, and shared in mass, and repeated in mass, it poses a real, genuine threat to the way we discuss facts and holds the potential to rewrite history. Thank you for listening to Reviewing the Right. I would like to thank Professor Matt Hutchinson for joining me. As always, resources and screenshots are in the description of the podcast. Until next time, I'm Evan L.H.